I, James, founded and work for HPI, but do not represent them or any of their opinions.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 308 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is Rocktober the 10th, 2017. Every week, we definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do that, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved, the people working for them, and their marketing campaigns. And, of course, the technology they're developing.
You got this. You got this.
Too many ands in that sentence, James. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and waiting to break the rules by running with blades is my Blade Runner brother, James Furlough.
Is that movie coming out, finally? I feel I've been seeing trailers for that forever. You know what they cannot do enough trailers of?
What?
Justice League. It's like every couple weeks, oh, a new trailer. Oh, a new spoiler.
Did you see the new one today?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the one where Lois Lane is dreaming?
Yes.
Yes.
Liked it. That was my favorite one I've seen so far because it's like it's not too much. I mean, it hints at things that are obviously going to happen, which is way better than showing them.
I knew you would return. He said you would be back.
Yeah, or
I hoped you would be here.
Or showing Doomsday, for example, which was just unforgettable sin.
So are you super pumped about Blade Runner? Are you I gotta set a timer.
I'm already a minute in, man. I'm excited. Actually, I'd like to see it this week. I read the book. I've watched the movie. I wouldn't say I'm a huge Blade Runner fan, but I like it a lot. And this one's getting pretty great reviews. And especially from people who are like, I like the old one. This one's pretty good too.
That's always a good start.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I like it. I have a bunch of friends that want to see it, which means I have to coordinate with them, which means we won't see it. So that's kind of frustrating. But
so that's a reality.
Yeah, I might have to.
Remember back in the day when you were just punk kids and all had free time and you were free every single evening to just go out and hang out?
I'm sure that happened, but it's been so long now. I'm so old that I know. I hear you, man. The worst part is I'm the busiest one. I'm the one who needs free time. It's just that our free times don't match anymore. So, anyways, James, I don't want to talk about how old and responsible I'm being. I want to talk about tech.
Fair enough. Well, let's do that. What are we talking about today?
I think we have a question, right? The question is pretty simple. How can Facebook fix their fake news ad problem?
Yes. They do have a problem. Yeah. And I would say it's a little more fundamental than that. They have a trust problem. And the symptom is with fake news and ads. And essentially people don't trust Facebook to either police it well or to catch it all. And so let's go into a little bit. So specifically, again, like I said, that issue is the fake news and Facebook's reaction to it. And we're going to try really hard not to be political.
Before we get too far, can we state what our definition of fake news is here so that everybody could be working on the same terminology?
Okay. So fake news, so specifically the most recent thing, it's news that's not true for starters.
Okay.
So, it's either like it's not true. or things that are, which this is just like a gray area of it that, how would you describe it? They are designed, they're extreme, I guess, where, okay, maybe it's true that you're getting old, but it would be like me saying Matthew's as old as a dinosaur. He's like, he's crazy old.
I would say
leather skin old. Where you're like,
I would say this. It is intentionally misleading and it fabricates the majority or it fabricates a significant amount of its facts. I think are the two major characteristics.
Okay. All right.
It's not even necessarily the majority of the facts, but a significant part of the facts are just not true, and they are intentionally untrue.
Fair enough. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So they have this kind of problem. And so there's actually been some evidence recently with, so the big one has been the US election. That's like, that's the big thing where people are like, Facebook had fake ads and Russia was getting involved. So that has kind of become the tip of the spear for this. And what they found is that what they can count right now, and this is actually interesting, this is what they know about, some Russian operatives, they bought at least 3,000, what they're calling dark ads. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about what that means. Those were seen by about 10 million people, 4.4 of which were seen before the election, and then the remaining were all after the election. And the point of these ads was to seed discontent, and they showed over the top, not true, just extreme ads in general. Mm-hmm. And so they haven't shown any of the ads for security reasons. But like some of them, they were like the government, I don't know, something about guns, right? They're going to come into your house and then raid your house and get all your guns, right? It's like, well, they're not going to do that. Yeah. And it's like, there's a bill on the table right now. Get out and vote. Like, no, there's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's being led by someone you don't like. Yeah, yeah. something like that. So by the way, a dark ad, just to again add further definition to this, and BuzzFeed actually, they've kind of gotten into this for the record. They had a lot of articles about it, but they had a good definition of it. They say that dark ads or posts are commonly purchased on social networks as a way to reach very specific audiences. The messaging is typically targeted at a particular demographic, and the posts delivering it aren't visible on, and this is the important part. The posts are not visible on the advertiser's timeline or pages after they've been shared. So like you might share something, say like boost the post, and then you say hide on my own timeline. And so that's especially useful in politics where advertisers can create scores of highly targeted ads meant to be shown to specific segments of the electorate. And so it's useful. And Facebook even comes back and they're like, yeah, the system's designed to do that.
Right.
And they had a nice ad, and I'm just going to read it from Facebook. They said, their ad targeting system is designed to show people ads that they might find useful, instead of showing everyone ads that they might find irrelevant or annoying, aka television ads. For instance, a baseball clothing line can use their targeting categories to reach people just interested in baseball rather than everyone who likes sports. Other examples include a business selling makeup designed specifically for African-American women, or a language class, Italian, right? Wanting to reach potential students. Hey. And they say, these are worthwhile uses of ad targeting because they enable people to connect with the things they care about. The problem, of course, is that it gets abused.
and the converse example here is, and this is to give a concrete example, we'll go back to they're going to take guns. What you would do is you'd create an ad saying they're going to take guns. You would target people who are known gun fans.
Right.
And you would just hit them that effect continuously. But because only gun fans are the ones getting these ads and getting these promoted articles, the effect that ends up happening is the people who are really energized by this are being lied to, but the people who would be to their advantage to counter that and speak out against it don't even know those ads exist.
Right.
And that's right. And that's the problem, is that it's not being shown the light of day.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So one of the questions out there is like, well, why doesn't Facebook catch them? You know, why can't they stop it? Besides the fact that there are some gray areas in terms of what is fake and what's not fake. Again, like, is an exaggeration fake?
Well, is...
Oh, man. So there's that issue, right? And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. But here's the really interesting thing. Here's Facebook's answer. Essentially, they say the system's too big and too automated for us to do it. They get this. This actually blew my mind. They get 8 million, I can do this, 8 million reports on ads per day that should be investigated.
Right.
8 million per day. And so Facebook, it's an automated machine, okay? So What this means is that engineers, they work on the machine, on the system, and then it's the machine that makes these decisions on approving ads or not approving ads, things like that, even just what posts to show you in general. And because of this, they honestly, they are not sure how many ads have been shown. What happens is they had some extra outside the network information that told them the name of one of these Russian cells. And so then they were able to figure out, oh, here are the ads associated with that one. But they just found one. They're like, there could be more. We have no idea. We don't have the ability and the resources to figure out how to do this, which is just crazy. And there's still even questions about, like, well, what about, what was it? It was a France and Germany election.
Oh yeah.
They're like, yeah, we took down a bunch of accounts, but honestly, we don't know what fake ads were done there. And by the way, this, in my opinion, is actually like probably the number one concern of AI, is that it gets too complex to fully understand and fully control. You just go, yeah, it did it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And I love this response by probably quickly one of our favorites, Scott Galloway of L2. He has a counter, and I'm just like, oh man, this is good. He says, it's not that Facebook can't solve these problems, and we're talking like just the huge volume of it all. He goes, is that Facebook can't solve these problems and maintain its operating margins. Oh, so true. He says, if the New York Times can protect us from these attacks on our democracy with the $64 million of annual free cash flows, then Facebook can figure it out with $12 billion of free cash flow. He goes, again, this isn't about ability. It's about commitment in the sense of resources and margins. And then I was just like, oh, mic drop. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And we're going to specifically try to answer that question. What are some things that Facebook could put that $12 billion towards to try to solve this thing? Because they're essentially resource unlimited if you don't care about margins, but they do. By the way, it was just this last week, Facebook did commit to hiring 1,000 people to help screen their ads. So it's a start, and we'll say what else they could do. And also worth noting is that
for the record, that means they have to screen 8,000 ads a day. If there are 8,000 complaints a day each, it covers 8 million complaints. So
yeah, totally true. And by the way, Facebook isn't the only one either. In the latest Las Vegas shooting, they found fake ads and hoaxes and other stuff stuff that wasn't true, whether intentional or not, I'm not sure, but just stuff that wasn't true. They found that on Google, YouTube, and Twitter. They're all kind of struggling with the same problem. It's just Facebook has, they are
the king of the hill. Yeah.
And so, you know, they're the ones who are going to be made an example of. And they're generally at a crossroads where, like, they could potentially get significant more oversight in what they're doing and a lot more rules put into place. They've been really good about connecting Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg and making it seem human and likable and naive. And Mark Zuckerberg has gotten away historically with just apologizing. Go, guys, we're so sorry we did this. We're going to be better. We promise. And they've tried that strategy with this one, and it doesn't quite seem to be working in the same way that it used to. And so they got some issues that they gotta genuinely figure this out. By the way, before we run into our amazing ad. I just want to talk about one more thing, and that was Facebook. They actually had what I thought was a good general stance on foreign ads on American politics, because I know there's some like, dude, Russia shouldn't be meddling no matter what, and their thing was like, actually thought it was well measured. It says the right to speak out on global issues that cross borders is an important principle. Organizations such as UNICEF, Oxfam, or religious organizations depend on the ability to communicate and advertise their views in a wide range of countries. While we may not always agree with the positions of those who would speak on issues here, we believe it is their right to do so. Just as we believe in the right of Americans to express opinions on issues in other countries. So they're like, the fact that Russia ran ads that about the election, that's not inherently wrong. It was the content of the ads or the news that was promoted that was the issue. I just thought that was well measured. There's so many like different little like flavors and issues within it. But first, who's this episode brought to us by?
This episode is brought to us by Russia.
Russia.
No, sorry, I'm just kidding. It's that was a joke, everybody. This episode is actually by Tuesdays. You're probably listening to this on a Tuesday. We're making a big announcement in the ad right now. We're gonna start publishing on Tuesdays. So thank you, Tuesdays. Thank you for everything you've done for us. You get one a week. Don't waste it. It's like, and that's like the clutch day, by the way. I mean, if you think about it, Monday, you're still getting up to speed. You had the weekend. You're not feeling great. By Wednesday, it's hump day. You're like, maybe you're going to be on fire. Maybe not. But like Tuesday is the one day of the week that's a sure fired, like we're after it. So take advantage of your Tuesdays, everybody.
That is my meetings day. That's when all my meetings are put on. Nice. So it just guarantees I have minimal productivity all week.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Just cut the head off of the tallest one. That's how you do it.
That's what happens. Yep.
It's awesome. So yeah. All right, cool. So,
So Facebook ads, I think it's a problem. If anything, it's a trust problem. Again, right. Let's come back to that. Facebook has a trust issue.
This is amazing. Cause it's like, so you asked me before the episode started to do something that we don't normally do, which was to actually write down our answer before we get into it. I hadn't read any of your articles. I hadn't read your explanations at all. But you want to know what I wrote down? I said Facebook should do whatever they feel good about doing, whatever is best for their business and their personal ethics. Like, I think that is the extent. I mean, in what I was, and I didn't necessarily use the word trust in my explanation, but I think that's the only thing that matters in this. Is like, do whatever it is that's going to make you. And like, basically do what's best for the business, which is make people feel good about it. And, you know, your personal ethics should probably play some role in it. But, you know, like, ultimately people want to be able to trust you, and they don't. That's the extent of their problem right now. And
yeah, but how do they build that trust back up?
I think by lying. I get this like weird existential. My problem with the fake ads is they work because it's what people want to hear. Facebook doesn't have an inherent power over people. And I get the idea that the echo chamber can be very powerful if you only hear one thing. But I come back to, we've been self-segregating politically for a long time, in my humble opinion. It's the reason why
MSNBC
and Fox are so successful is because they self-segregate. They target a particular audience, and Facebook has like automated that to an extent that it's really powerful. But the next logical step is to believe facts that aren't true. And I think the only thing that Facebook can do is to try to convince the like on any political topic to try to convince the opposition, not that they're preventing it from being heard, but they're giving everybody all the tools to know the truth that they need. So for example,
That's fair.
I would say to get better discoverability about who sent out the ad, just make it easier to figure out, which comes down to Facebook identifying that they're Russian accounts.
Television and radio, you have to have it by PACs, and it's actually fairly highly regulated for political specific ads. Like, and Facebook doesn't have any of that. They're kind of like you were talking about, just kind of out there. Well, it's weird. They're not ads. They're like promoted news stories.
Well, and this gets more complicated. This gets more complicated too, because like, yeah, they're regulated on who spends money, but it's like, if a PAC lies, that's not the responsibility of the TV network. That's the responsibility of the PAC. And the perfect example is if a meat company says our meat's the healthiest meat on earth, nobody will ever get sick if they eat our meat, and then people get sick with your meat. The radio company that ran that ad doesn't get hit for false advertising. The ad company, the meat company get hit with false advertising. The onus is on the advertiser to make sure that their facts are in order, not the media.
But what happens when the radio, so I'm like, let's go with this example, right? The meat example. The radio doesn't necessarily decide when it gets played, right? It's just like, yeah, it's part of the ad cycle that's going. Whereas Facebook gets to decide, kind of, who gets to see the ad. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like they play a little role in...
Well, especially, but I don't know. I think we're actually putting... I guess what my point is...
Do you think an ad... Do you really genuinely think, like a radio company, if there was an ad out there that was saying, like, the meat thing, do you think they'd run it?
If they knew that it was... If they would, if it wasn't hurting... No. I honestly think if there was an ad that came to the radio executives and they said, this is clearly true, but everybody believes it, they'd play it. Or this is clearly untrue, but everybody believes it's true, they'd play it. It wasn't until it came out, and then they'd immediately stop. Once everybody figured out that this was false, that it was a lie, and it would hurt their credibility, the radio company would go, oh, I'm so sorry, which is exactly what Facebook is doing. And, right. You know, it's the
times eight. Geez.
Yeah,
times 100 million.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that this was what was going on. And this is so complicated, too, because it's like, if you put a post on Facebook, if you type in a post on Facebook, and it goes viral, like, and you didn't pay to promote it, you didn't do any fact-checking, and it goes viral, it could be worth so much more money than any traditional advertising technique that is even possible. And yet it's like, what is, like, my problem with all of this is, like, okay, so we'll get better, we'll say no more fake ads, right? Okay, so we'll target fake ads. Well, we're gonna have to define what a fake ad is, and that very act is going to leave this giant world open
for
mostly untrue. And the classic example of this is, like, every news source on earth can do this. You can look at them and say they get facts wrong, and then they have to come back later and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
right.
Responsible journalists will come back. They'll run a front page ad, talk about something. They'll get proven wrong, and then they'll then the next, you know, next week, a week later, after they've done all this damage to whoever they wrote the ad about, they'll retract it on page 16. Like, that's the classic move. And I sit there and I go, the moment that Facebook defines, like, a narrowly defined set of this is what fake news is, then they'll go, like, okay, well, we'll stop doing that. We'll do something closely related that gets to the same heart of it.
Well, and that's what happened with these dark ads, right? These companies, they figured out, like, if we just do a standard ad buy, we're going to have a problem. But if we can create a website that has fake stories, we'll just do a post to that story, we'll boost the post, and then we'll hide it from our timeline so other people can't see that it was directly related to us. Boom, done. Right? And it's Facebook's, like, that's indistinguishable from everything else. We, like, that's how the system's designed to work. And we're not looking for, like, they're not crawling necessarily that other website for its content. Maybe they are. They probably are. But they, you know what I mean? Like,
is it even reasonable, though, to and I come back and say, like, maybe it's, I hear where Galloway is coming from, but it's like, at the same time, I honestly don't think we hold the New York Times to that standard. Like, the New York Times holds themselves to a pretty high standard, but it's at a completely different scale. And they might say we hold ourselves to a high standard, but not really. Not in the same, it's sometimes a difference.
Well, and I wouldn't think Facebook would say, hey, if you want a foolproof 100%, you're not going to find anything fake. Yeah, subscribe to the New York Times. Be our guest.
Exactly.
And don't visit us.
But if you want to be spoon-fed what you're hoping to hear, come out here. I can't guarantee it's true because I'm not checking to make sure it's true. And what makes it even more
complicated
is the classic, you know, the true bias of the media is, like, to see bias in media, it's not what they say. Like, Fox News and MSNBC, they are really good about going out of the way to make sure they get their facts correct. The true bias isn't that they lie about what they give false facts. It's the facts that they don't bring up or the stories they avoid completely. And, like, how do you get into that? Like, what if you get an ad that everything it says is true, but it really, you're missing, like, the heart of the conversation if you don't include the alternative facts? Like, you know, and if all you were to do is take Hillary Clinton's quotes about gun control, and none of her things that would temper that, you'd get a distorted version of Hillary Clinton. Well, is that untrue? Like, how would you define untrue? You know, and it's, and that's where I get into this, is like, this
so
is
you're so- saying A, it's a problem that can't be solved, and yes, even if it could, they shouldn't.
Yes, and I think the only thing they can focus on right now is to gain trust. How to make people feel
okay,
like doing the right thing.
And which I think the answer to that is, I'm going to guess, is increased transparency. Which, by the way, was my number one plan as well.
Yeah.
And one of my specific ideas that I had was that they can help. They can copy Twitter's verified account program, where they actually go through and there's certain people that go, "This is actually this person."
Yeah.
And some equivalent of that, where it's like it's free to apply. It's a human-driven thing, much like Apple's App Store. They've got criteria to say, you are real.
Yeah.
And they could even set it up where it's like, once you're verified, you either get access to tools, like advertising, perhaps. And maybe if you're not verified, no, dude, we're not even going to let you advertise or boost. You got to do that first. You can post whatever you want. I think, like, YouTube, they have certain verification things as well, where it's like, until you do this, we're not going to let you. It's like the length of videos you can upload. I think at first it's like a 5 or 10 minute thing. And then once you fill something out, they're like, yeah, whatever, unlimited, or 2 hours or whatever crazy amount of time it is. Every minute, right? and maybe something like that, where you at least know, any ad that I'm seeing, any boosted thing that I'm seeing, that a human has looked at that and said, yeah, this is a legitimate organization, however they've defined that. And, one of them might just be, I don't know, there could be a bunch of, I think there's reasonable ways you could do that to say, yeah, they're legitimate. Mm. And I think that's like, honestly, I think that's like almost the most that they could do. I think getting more people just on the job too, in terms of either just physically, manually checking into these 8 million cases. Oh my gosh. And just hiring more engineers to say, let's get after that so that we can just get better screening. You know, they just got to start throwing some resources at the problem, at just checking things, making sure it's all up and up. And that way they can say from a trust standpoint, look, now you know who's sending it. We've looked at it. There's a little badge there too or something. Unless, again, I really like the idea, like you can't advertise until you're verified. I really like that idea.
Yeah,
just like there's certain things like you have to have a certain number of followers before, or likes or whatever it is, until I think it's like you can see the analytics, which that kind of makes sense because they just need a number of analytics. But I think there's even ad features that don't unlock until you have a certain number of people. Okay. But anyways,
maybe
that's what they could do.
And maybe different levels of reach based on how verified you are. Like you can promote a post to like your direct friends or your direct followers if without being verified. But if you want to be able to boost it to people outside of your network, like then you actually have to be verified at some level. And if you want to be able to do like ads indiscriminately against, you know, like people beyond friends of friends, then you need to have like, you have to be super accredited. Like I could see them do something like that.
And or I could even see like just dollar spend, you know, or it's like, if you want to be able to like maybe friends of friends, or you can spend up to $1,000. That actually sounds like a lot, but $1,000, like you can go through their automated verification process.
Yeah.
But then if you want to spend more, no, we're going to have a human curator just double check.
And honestly, I wouldn't even say that you're doing that to necessarily like solve a problem. I think you set up some criteria, you make it very clear what those criteria are, and then you just do it knowing that it's ineffective. And let people attack it, and when the people point out flaws in it, you go, okay, we'll try to fix that too. And just slowly, I think what people are going to do is they're going to become numb to the idea that I think people will get around to my position sooner than later. They'll just be numb to it. They'll be like, yeah, there's fake news. And the ultimate goal of the Russians, which is to make us...
Just like there are hacks in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And the ultimate goal of the Russians, which is to just make us cynical about everything. Not
mission success.
Yeah. I think they're going to succeed to some degree, and Everything, all news comes with homework now. You got to verify it yourself, and it's frustrating. But all Facebook, I think, can be expected to do is to give us the tools to do that research. And I think as long as they do that, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, stuff. But
cool. Stuff well, like,
sorry.
Good conversation. That's what we got. Facebook. It's a tough situation. Be careful out there. Of what you read on Facebook and Google, not Twitter. Twitter's fine. You can only, it's 140 characters. You can't get in trouble.
Oh my gosh. So, I got to tell you, this is crazy. So back with the kneeling stuff, that the NFL kneeling, there were two main hashtags. One of the hashtags was like, don't kneel, you guys. The other one was like, kneel with them. Both were started by Russian accounts. Just messing with us.
Oh man, there's a game theory part of me that really likes that.
Yep, me too. But as an American, I really hate it.
I hope that like the CIA is doing something similar just on the other side.
Me too.
They don't really have a Russian Twitter, but I, you know, whatever that is. Yep. Interesting. Cool. Well, a question to you is, have you seen any fake ads or news? Did you even know it? That's what we want to know. So feel free to leave a comment on the Book of Face, on our Twitter, on our blog ourselves. We'd love to hear about it. And with that, we say thank you. Thank you for joining us. We totally appreciate it. You can check out all the links, and I will have a bazillion links. That's not an exaggeration. That is totally true. One bazillion. No, I think it's closer to 15 if I do my quick count. Links. You can check them all out. It's furloughbros.com/308. And you can also subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. And we want to say thank you to a bazillion people. No, just like five or six. Scott Galloway of L2. Let's see. Adam Entuis and others from the Washington Post. A bunch of people from BuzzFeed. Charlie Wezel, Alex Kankronitz, Craig Silverman. And the list goes on. And to, let's see, who's the Facebook guy? Elliot Schrag. I'm sorry for your name there, Elliot. He's actually from Facebook. He wrote a really good, like, here's what we think and here's what's going on. So we totally appreciated that. So check that out. Thank you, everybody, for your thoughts and contributions to help make this show possible. And finally, this podcast is sponsored by listeners like you. And Tuesdays. That is now the day we are publishing our podcast. Yay! So with that, I am James Furlow, and my brother who is running with blades is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time.